there's growth in it, and there's no like waste of time. Like if you don't reach a milestone, it's not like you're growing. Like inside, you're still growing with each every day that comes.
Yeah.
And like every mistake that you make.
I'm actually talking. Welcome back to the third episode of Pod 4 Creative, run by Plus 4 Creative. We are joined by myself, Shona, and Sean.
How?
Anne-Marie.
Hi.
Karina.
Hey, yo.
And today we're going to be talking about growth mindset, also known as the better G word.
Starting stuff.
Yep.
So the first question we have in regards to growth mindset is, what does growth mindset look like for you?
Okay, so I first heard about growth mindset through a TED Talk. Originally, I only knew about self-improvement and personal improvement. But I first heard about, because I was curious, I saw something on TED Talk that said the dark side of self-improvement. And I always want to know the dark side of everything. So I clicked on it.
You're a big fan of Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, I imagine.
Actually, I haven't seen that one. But I was interested in the dark side of self-improvement because, you know, I think I always go into a topic a bit skeptical. You know, that's feeding into my skepticism. But anyway, I saw a TED Talk on the dark side of improvement by Suzanne Eder, spelled with a Z.
It'll be in the podcast notes.
Yes, it'll be in the podcast notes. And she talks about growth mindset over goal mindset. And first of all, like people with goal mindset, it's a thing of people constantly making goals after goals over appreciating their milestones. So sometimes you might like set these goals for self-improvement. Once you accomplish those goals, you're like immediately moving to the next step. And often we are like so fast-paced that we forget to appreciate the growth we have so far. And Suzanne talks about that in her TED Talk, that itself can become toxic to you because you're kind of moving so fast, like I don't even think your body or your soul can like catch up to it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, over time it starts to become toxic or starts to become dissatisfied. Like there's like no end because you're never satisfied. You're always wanting to move on. So that becomes like the goal mindset in a way. That's what Suzanne talks about in the TED Talk. And she talks about more appreciating each milestone. So you do feel satisfied. You do feel like I'm actually improving for myself because sometimes you lose that sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And that sense of like, well, what am I doing? There's like no end to it. And it becomes like depressing in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So see what she means by dark side.
Yeah. So is it more about thinking about how far you've come overall, or is it more about thinking about the individual goal and like how far you come just through that goal itself?
The first one?
The first one, yeah. Like how far you've come, I think. Like I think that's coming from more gratitude of what you've learned and like all the experiences. Do you ever experience where you've kind of been able to look back and have the satisfaction, reflect
what you've learned.
What you've learned, because there's times where you keep moving on from things and you're like, oh, this never ends.
It's like a check.
Yeah, check. I've done that, I've done that.
Yeah.
That gets a bit like
monotonous.
Monotonous. It starts to not become enjoyable.
Yeah.
Is it kind of linked to our motto that we had for a bit of fail more often?
Well, like make more mistakes.
Make more mistakes.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, shit, I've screwed up. Being like,
if you don't
look, I've learned something because that didn't work. Let's do it a different way.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same thing? I'm still trying to figure out what this whole growth concept is.
Yeah, it's similar. Like, just being able to recognize and take self-responsibility for the things you've done. Sometimes people move on quickly and they're like, oh, that didn't happen, or they might be in denial of it happening.
Yeah.
Or they might want to, like, fix it, you know? Like, and but then it's not always the case. Like, it's not always what humans are complex, so they're not always fixable.
Yeah. In regards to, I guess, the opposite side of it, when you don't achieve a goal, is it also a matter of, like, looking
yeah,
at how far you come?
I think appreciating the efforts as well, rather than, like, seeing yourself as a failure. Because often we kind of, we're like, used to thinking that way, or we're conditioned to think that way. And it's sad.
Especially when you don't achieve something.
Yeah, you feel unaccomplished.
Yeah.
And that's like even now, there's growth in it. And there's no, like, waste of time. Like, if you don't reach a milestone, it's not like you're growing. Like, inside, you're still growing with each every day that comes.
Yeah.
Like every mistake that you make.
I was actually talking to Amory yesterday about...
like that baby analogy.
The baby analogy, actually, yeah. Because I listened... oh, the baby analogy. So, like, I was saying that... because I had another podcast episode from Hurry Slowly talking about how you need to have space, giving yourself the space to grow and think. And she was giving me... she talked about the baby analogy, like, with pregnant women. They don't always think about it as they're making an organ or making, like, baby eyes. They don't think that way. But something is brewing up down there. They're just, like, over time, they're doing their own thing and taking care of themselves. But, like, they don't think about the fact that in their belly, they, like...
well, they're not, like, thinking of every, like, now I'm going to make its eyeballs.
Yeah,
now I'm going to make its fingers.
Sometimes we delve too much into these things and it makes us, like, get overwhelmed. And sometimes you do need space for yourself to grow and to, like, even if you're not thinking about growing, you're still growing because you're still experiencing stuff every day and thinking about that your, like, life and everything that's happening to you.
Yeah.
So it's a bit ambiguous. I think it's the kind of thing that you know when you experience it. Okay, that's hard to say. But, like, yeah, with babies, that's, yeah, because there's obviously something brewing down there. And maybe it just comes, it feels like when you get the idea and when you reach that milestone, it suddenly feels like, oh, how come I didn't think about this before? But maybe subconsciously it's been brewing. Kind of similar to the baby analogy, that, like, you're making a baby inside, but you're thinking about all those concrete details, like your body is subconsciously making it. And same with, like, your growth. Like, you're subconsciously growing, even though you might not be, like for me with drawing and all that, like, I might not illustrate 24/7, but I'm always thinking about concepts, looking at inspiration. So that helps me a lot to, like, think of ideas, brew up ideas, and then I'm looking at videos on how to illustrate better. So then when I do get to illustrate, there's a bit of changes, and over time as I keep illustrating, there comes a point where I'm like, I'm gonna try this, and then I feel like I've reached this new level, like a level up. Kind of like grinding, right? With games.
Yeah.
You know, yes, the grinding games.
Until you
level up. Yeah, until you level up. That's kind of the feeling sometimes. That's the satisfaction, I reckon.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of something similar, because the way you're sort of describing it sounds like it's generally everything you do kind of contributes to your broader experience, and, like, regardless if it's super related to what you do or not, it all kind of contributes to growing every one of your skills.
Yeah, it all contributes, I reckon. Like, even, okay, there's things that's happened in the past where, you know, I haven't taken criticism lightly, but those lash outs, I used to feel more regret around them, but looking back, I am quite glad, because it not only vents out my feelings, it makes me think about it more, because, like, sometimes you do stuff and then when you regret something, you think about it more because you've done the action, where it's different to when you imagine that you've done it or it's been prevented. Do you get what I mean? Like, sometimes once you've done it, you think about it a lot more than, oh, you haven't done it, it's been prevented.
Yeah. The experience you're growing from isn't the part of saying, it's how you deal with it.
Yeah, like, so how I've dealt with stuff, that's helped me to reflect on things, and so that contributes to my growth mindset in a way, and helps me to continue, what do you call it?
Growing,
yeah. Helps me to continue brewing the baby, you know? Well, I don't have a baby, but my baby's my self-growth.
I am the baby.
Baby, pretty much. But yeah, do you kind of get what I mean? Like, it's really hard to explain it, but that's the idea behind it. It's like, you know, all the little things you do.
Yeah.
It's they all contribute to the bigger growth in everything. Like, even not even design related, like personal life. The like actions when you like argue with your family and you're like, oh, it happened, I have to deal with it. But you're like thinking about how you could prevent it in the future, or how it could have been better, how it could have been resolved. Or you're thinking about how to understand someone better. Like, that's all those thoughts that go through my mind after I've done the action. It's like, how am I going to deal with it? Like, because it still bothers me, like, those times where I lash out and then it's like, oh, I didn't resolve it. So, you know, in some ways, like, as humans, we desire that closure and want to help see ways to resolve things and grow from them.
Yeah.
Does that kind of give you a better sense of the growth mindset, Sean?
Yeah. For me personally, I know for a fact I definitely have that goal mindset that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Do you know any, I guess for anybody else who's kind of in that similar boat, do you know any techniques to potentially start getting into a growth mindset?
Techniques.
I guess it's extends to anybody else who...
Like Sean and has 1,000 checklists.
I like checklists. I like numbers going up. But yeah, if anybody else has any ideas on how to, I guess, bear a growth mindset,
well,
feel free to chime in.
It's kind of a thing of mind and body a bit. Like,
I think being nicer to yourself.
Yeah, being nicer to yourself. Like, if you feel like, okay, I don't know. Sometimes it's you telling yourself it's okay to not know the answer right away.
Like, if you failed, it's okay, just do it again.
Yeah, like, being nice to yourself. I know that's
it's kind of hard.
Hard to like grasp that concept.
Yeah. It's a pretty broad concept. But,
yeah. Like, I don't know, like, because sometimes the world conditions you to like make use of your time because life is so short and everything. But then sometimes you rush into it and.
And like, you already have a goal for yourself at the age of
your body's not 25 ready.
Or like have a baby before 30. That's what they say.
Oh, I'm a late bloomer then.
Yeah,
like, even with the whole COVID coming around, that's making people, I think this year is like a big year of change and reflection.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's plans definitely got disrupted thanks to COVID.
Tell me about it. My Japan trip.
Oh yeah, your Japan trip. Or my plan to ever go to Melbourne is diminished. What a bad idea to go. Well, I don't know. This is getting off topic.
Yeah, what happened to the technique?
What happened to the techniques? Okay, the technique is to be kinder to yourself. Really, like, I think it was because of the dissatisfaction. Like, I get fed up with myself. Where am I? What's like the point if I don't feel happy, or if I don't feel like my milestones or my new level up was worth it? So I started putting some time for myself to process things and just trying different methods out.
Yeah,
to help myself, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be one method that works for everyone.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit of experimentation and figuring out.
Yeah, it really helps to listen to the Hurry Slowly podcast because it's basically about pacing yourself. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. They have so many good topics.
Yeah. Is that a specific episode or the entire podcast?
Entire podcast is good, guys. Don't go to it yet. Stay on.
Yeah, don't read those podcast notes yet.
Stay on. It's good. So, yeah, because just being able to give yourself kindness allows you to give yourself the space. Like,
yeah.
If you listen to your body and what it wants as well, like, if you're feeling nervous and all that and you're still shaky about a scenario or something.
It's okay.
Yeah, like, jumping right into making a decision might not be the best scenario, perhaps. Then you know it's kind of like 100% ready or not, like 80% ready to make a decision. So maybe it's good for me to take a break or something like that.
Mm.
And also I think it's good to observe how you feel afterwards. Like sometimes I make a decision and it's not really the right decision.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I regret it. Like my body will feel like I regret it. Like say for example, it's like if you eat something bad, right? You do a cheat meal, right? Sometimes I feel okay after cheat meals. I'll be like, yeah, I deserve that meal. I really like felt like I treated myself. And other days I'll be like, that was not a good decision. So even just taking note of the times where you're like, that was not a good decision.
But now you've learned.
Now you've learned. Yeah.
And grown.
Yeah, you would have learned and grown from those decisions and you would know better what your body wants. And yeah, again, it's also good to try different routes in your life.
Yeah, you know, you've tried that route. Do you think that, is there a concern in somebody repeating the same mistakes?
I mean, I guess it's up to them. Like, it's a waste of time for them if they keep repeating the same mistakes. You don't learn, do you?
I feel like that's the point of the reflecting step.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You do things, but then make sure you reflect on it and actually grow from it.
Grow from it, yeah.
Because
yeah.
If you just keep doing the same thing, that kind of means
you're not growing.
You're not reflecting in, actually.
Couldn't it be a thing of that person's nature? Like, it's a mistake they keep on making just because it is something a bit more subconscious than
mm-hmm.
something they can easily correct.
That's
why you self-reflect, right? So
you
become more conscious about it.
Yeah. Conscious
being
of
being aware.
Yeah.
Because then you might do it again. But each time you do it, you're more
aware
of it.
Yeah.
And then eventually.
Like, that's the thing with our reviews as a team with these peer reviews as well. Sometimes you might not be aware, but someone will point it out. It's kind of up to you then if you think that that's true or not. But if you think it's, like, if you think it's worth pursuing to try and work on it, then, yeah, then you might take notice of it or... I don't know, it's up to you if you think it's true. That's the point. Like, for me, you guys mentioned, like, oh, I might not have taken criticism well. I was always a bit stubborn with that kind of stuff, to be honest. But then I've learned over time that it's something worth for me to work on, to actually think about stuff through and process it.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So...
And it wasn't like an instant thing. You weren't instantly like, oh, now I'm super cheery and positive every time I get feedback. Because
<No.
laughs> it's not like you instantly stop doing that. You notice it each time and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
For me, I think it's mainly about ensuring that you don't get deterred during that process. Because I can see a lot of people would very easily get deterred if they keep on making the same mistake
yeah.
and they don't really understand why.
Why,
even if they try to identify it and
mm.
just their assessment of why things went wrong for them just was incorrect.
Yeah, that line.
Having a good support network.
Yeah, supportive network.
Yeah,
or
like
even,
friends,
yeah.
Like co-workers, team.
And a therapist.
Oh yeah, and a therapist.
They certainly help to
yeah.
bounce back as well and give you like knowledge and self-awareness around
yeah.
yourself in a more positive and encouraging way.
Mm. Because
yeah.
it's coming from a good place.
Yeah, it's coming from good intentions because
yeah.
sometimes I used to also have that where I was like, the world is against me. These critiques is like trying to kill and destroy me. subconsciously that was like the feeling, because there's past triggers in that.
Mm.
So I couldn't help it. But like,
yeah.
The more people were coming from a place of wanting to help, I started to see it as, oh, it's more of a gift, you know, like if they didn't care, they wouldn't have said anything.
Mm.
Or they probably just would have been like, you know, you're good, you know, you're fine. You know, saying all these constructive feedback, it's something for me to choose whether I want it in my life or not. And if I think, I always think about the feedback, because there's a bit of self-doubt for me that I'm not a perfect person, but it still helps. No one is perfect, but it still helps in the end. Like now I've learned to take it a bit better and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just having that supportive network, maybe a counselor to help you out, to like bounce off your personal problems and soundboard them. Honestly, journaling helps so much. I like writing, so maybe that helps a lot too with journaling, but that helps me to put out the feelings on paper. And sometimes the feelings make sense in your mind. Once you put it out on something separate, talk to someone or soundboard it and they like respond back, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, it doesn't make sense. Like you've been brewing this all in your head and it's like, oh
yeah.
Sometimes that's also the case, like sometimes you just gotta put it on something else other than your mind, because it makes sense in your mind all the time, but
right,
when
you
revisit it with fresh eyes, or you have someone review it, it's like, oh, okay, what's that? Does it make sense?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, in terms of the subconscious, it is more getting reviews from others and listening
that
to
you trust.
And yeah, and trusting.
Yeah, close to you.
Trusting.
Don't get like random.
Also, sometimes, particularly parents, feedback comes from a good place, but it's not always helpful.
That's
It is using your best judgment too.
You gotta find some good people to help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
like a professional therapist.
therapist helps.
I swear we're not sponsored by the therapist.
Well, I mean, we
is
could
it,
be.
Is it an organization?
Psychology Association sponsor.
Yeah, we could look up some advertising in that regard.
Yeah, like, I think just people with those good intentions. And I guess sometimes as well, like, with my parents, they have advice, but I take it with a grain of salt. I know they won't ever listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So.
You never know. They might get on the line and be like, oh, show me this podcast. Let me start with some.
They don't know what podcast.
The baby boomers. What are podcasts of them?
I wouldn't know how to find it. It's fine.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at feedback and just try discerning what is, I guess, valuable in it.
Yeah.
Certainly with like parents, I don't think they get the complete picture of what is going on sometimes. Like you'll tell them certain pieces of information. They can only figure out what's going on to some degree. Especially just talking to somebody who has a bit better of a scope of understanding of what you're talking about.
I mean, I think never ignore someone though. Definitely hear them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't trust them, you take it with a grain of salt, but hear them out at least, and then decide for yourself, is this true or not? We'll often sometimes reject people's opinions or feedback easily if we don't agree with them. And sometimes it's so true that it hurts, that you're like, you're in denial. Like, I've been through that, where it's like, oh, it's so true. I don't want to admit that's true. So, you know, you're wrong.
At the time, we're like that as well.
Yeah, and when you're in that kind of mindset, the easiest way to ignore somebody's argument completely is find a way to discredit them.
Yeah, then you start digging, then it becomes a like argument and it doesn't look good. So there's cases like that, and sometimes you might not be ready to, but it does, you do think about what they say, that's why there's the baby concept. You're like thinking about what they say sometimes after they said it. And sometimes I think, oh, maybe it's true, like later when I'm actually not fired up. So then you're like more mindful about it the next time you go into the same kind of conversation. You're like, this has happened before. Even if you make the same mistakes, you know inside, you start to think, this has happened before. Because I start to be aware of my own loopholes that happens.
Mm.
Like, I've seen my parents argue about the same thing for like decades. But I don't know if they've ever reflected upon it. I feel like they've just been frustrated and then they like bottle it up, they lash out, and then it's already out, and then they bottle it up again. And it's like, oh, well, have they ever learned from it?
Yeah, they vocalize their concerns without actually really considering how to move that forward or really reflecting on it.
It's just a sad kind of loophole that some people get stuck in, and then they're not really growing from it. It just becomes a thing where they're coming back to the same argument. They're not asking why as well. Like, why are we arguing about this? Like, why can't we understand each other? Like, also, like, a lot of it does come from thinking about the worst of each other. Like,
yeah.
You think about the worst of that person and you forget to appreciate what that person offers to the table. So that happens a lot with, like, parents and moms and dads. Well, that's the same thing as parents.
I think it happens a lot
in
any relationship,
yeah,
really.
Any relationship.
Yeah, any kind of relationship.
Like, and, yeah, people just forget to...
Or with yourself.
Or with yourself, yeah, true.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, loving yourself, I think building empathy, that's one of the biggest things. Empathy, I think.
Yeah. And not comparing yourselves to other people.
Yeah. I think also just willing to know what another person's thinking and feeling. Because I sometimes assume I know what they're feeling. Or sometimes I think I know. But it's like, once you hear from them, it's like, oh, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think even giving kindness first, even though it might not work the first time, it will, like, reward you in the end. Well, don't think of the reward, but it will, like, it'll be better in the end when you actually, sometimes you might compromise or you might be kind first, you know, you might think of them first, but you're doing it for, like, the bigger picture in the end, like, for the future or for the better of the relationship.
Yeah, much like failing those multiple times and not being able to identify the problem, you have to be willing and have the resistance to continue to, I guess, put the effort in, even if it is a bit deterrent.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, we'll jump on to the last question and then just wrap up from there.
What advice would you give to people who are struggling with growth mindset? With
techniques?
Kind of did answer it. Yeah, I was going to essentially ask the question. Yeah.
I Googled it, and according to developgoodhabits.com, number one is start. Number two is reflect.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
Simple
terms, guys. Simple
terms.
That's,
but
that's
does anyone have anything about when you feel like it's right to voice your opinions? Or voice what's bothering you? Sometimes, like, you know, you might compromise, but, like, what about the other way around?
I think a lot of the time in regards to providing feedback, the most important part is to just consider the other person's perspective. So it's important to always write feedback in a way that just considers, gives them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon it's to make sure it's not coming from a selfish point of view. You're not giving the feedback because you want something out of it, or you... for selfish reasons, you're like, no, this is actually necessary to be voiced and will be helpful for the other.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to see it. Like, is it going to be helpful to someone else? Like, what's your intention behind sharing or voicing that thing? You know, are you intending to hurt someone?
Mm.
Sometimes that's the case. You know, that's why it comes out in the most anger format. Mm. Are you intending to, like, prove yourself? As that also does come out in an anger format sometimes. You know, what? Think about your reason for voicing that opinion, and is it helpful to the other person receiving it? Because think about the other person receiving it too.
Yeah.
So, like, does it help them to grow? Does it help them, you know, sometimes thinking that I'm going to change them? Or even, like, thinking of the way you're going to say it, is important too. Like, would you want someone to say it in the same way to you? I think about that too when I give feedback.
Yeah.
Receive feedback.
Because, yeah, if you do it in a, I guess, mean-spirited way, you're setting up a really uncomfortable precedent of, like, how you want feedback to be provided to you as well. Even considering it in regards to your own growth, you will receive worse feedback if you provide non-beneficial feedback to other people.
Yeah, because it's so easy once you, like, hear it to see things as an attack. And so sometimes, yeah, thinking about the other person's intent the other way around when you're getting feedback.
I think FBI, the thing that we use,
really FBI, yeah.
Helps.
Yeah.
Someone explain that, please.
Okay, who wants
who actually remembers what it stands for?
I know.
Well, the FBI is a U.S. government agency. No. It stands for Feeling, Behavior, and Impact.
Yeah, pretty much you have to describe to the person how it made you feel, why, and then point out a specific behavior,
like an example
situation.
Yeah,
not just be like, "Oh, you're always mean to me." Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
yeah.
How? What specifically did they do when?
Yeah.
And then how it impacts, like,
how it impacts you.
Yeah.
You, I feel hurt because you called me fat on Friday. It makes me, the impact on me, it makes me feel self-conscious about my weight, and I go home and cry.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in this office, did it?
No.
But that's an example.
Yeah. And you,
very,
yes.
Very bad example, but...
I mean, it does happen.
Okay.
It does happen. It's probably happening somewhere in the world, sadly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is an example of an FBI and a way to tell someone, like, what if you feel like you want to let them know that it hurt you. An FBI could be a way to tell them.
Yeah.
And actually give them an example of when it actually happened.
Yeah.
Because when you're focusing on a specific example, it's a lot easier for the person to grow from that experience.
Yeah.
Because then they can specifically identify what the issue was.
Yeah.
And they can start figuring out ways to, like, countering it.
Mm-hmm. Usually they don't realize, like, that's the whole point of the impact thing. A lot of times people don't realize the impact that they have on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they think they said, "You're fat," and they thought it was funny or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
They just meant it as a joke.
Yeah, maybe they meant it as a
they
joke.
They realize that it actually,
I mean,
you shouldn't be going around calling people fat as a joke. It's not funny.
It doesn't, like, when you use FBI, it doesn't sound very accusing.
It's not putting all the blame on that. Like,
it's just letting them know what happened and how it made you feel.
It's just being truthful about it,
but not in, like, mean
way.
Sounding way, I guess.
Because sometimes, when you do want to hurt someone, you start to bring up all these things from the past. Or, like, you'll start saying things because you start to see the bad side of someone. You'll be like, "You always do this.
You always
do that." You know, it never goes the right way. Like, if you can turn that resentment into appreciation for each other and to understand each other, your relationships will be better off.
Yeah.
And they will thrive more when you see things, when you can appreciate more about each other. Because if it doesn't go the right way, then the relationship might not be for you, or, you know, you might need a healthy distance, or they might not be ready. Something along those lines. Thank you for listening to Pod 4 Creative. If you have questions, feel free to send a DM to our social media or contact us via our website, www.plus4creative.com.au. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, on LinkedIn as well, plus4creative.au. If you ever need design work, you know, we're here too. So, yeah,
that's
the gist
all,
of the G word, guys.
Any questions to give the listeners?
Any questions? Well,
yeah.
They can't exactly talk back.
They can't always engage with with us with a hashtag.
Yes.
Hashtag pod four. That's what we're going for.
Yeah. If you've got an experience you want to share with us, you know, feel free to let us know. You know, we're happy to share and talk about those things.
Yeah.
Give advice here and there.
Adios. Just slowly fade out and that's all.
Bye.
See ya.